Yes. Hey, we're back. I can't believe it either. I cannot believe it either. It is I. It is you. It is me. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You got to listen to Carolyn Joe Show. Hey, hey, yes, you. My name is Joe Carabay. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, a writer, definitely in the band Monday Mistress. And hell yeah, today I am a podcaster. But did you know across from me in the studio, in the Astray Studios, Astray Production Studios, is the one and only super talented, greatest person I've ever met, one of the best looking, one of the most beautiful, most artistic, the designer, the cartoonist y'all know and love. Her name is Carolyn Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
Hi.
Hey.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Hope you guys enjoyed that.
Is it still too late to say that?
No,
or too early?
I don't think so. I don't think so. But I hope you guys enjoyed last week's episode with Amber Benson. The missing episode from 2016. No, from 2015, correct.
Uh-oh.
But now in 2016. Yes, we are in 2016.
Into the future.
Good to be here. And yes, it is still going on, ladies and gentlemen. I'm still trying to make this happen. We are so close. We're almost to 100 views on the Taboo Serious About Sex documentary.
100 views?
1 million views, sorry. Almost to a million views.
I was going to say, I'm like, you got that correct, landmark
a long time ago. I'm working on that. You know what?
Working on adding those extra zeros.
And it's true, man. There's a lot of videos out there that have even more than millions of views by Taylor Swift and all them people, all them big ass famous people. But you know what?
I don't think Taylor Swift has big ass though.
Could be, if it's up close. But it's a great goal. It'd be amazing for Taboo Serious About Sex, a documentary I made in 2004 about Allison Miller back then, now known as Allison Barber, and her journey of creating her own brand of, you know, the adult store style. You know, check that out. Go on Google, look it up. Taboo Serious About Sex 2004 documentary, or Taboo Serious About Sex. Let's get that to a million views. And you know why? Because I think it's going to be interesting when that thing does cross the line of a million views. We on this show, live, recorded, however you want to talk about it, we're going to answer every one of those questions and comments that are left on the comment board of the comment section on the YouTube. Because if you go there now, if you go Taboo Serious About Sex, Google that YouTube, you'll be able to see all the freaking hundreds of comments on there, all offensive in their own fun way, and I want to comment on every single one of them. But now, it's time for Carolyn's News. Tell it, Carolyn.
It's time for the news. So, I heard you have a show coming up.
I do have a show coming
up. And is it February 5th?
February 5th. You heard it before. Monday Mistress is performing in Fairfax, Virginia. That's right. We're headlining the show too. We're
and it's
headlining
at Epicure?
The show. Epicure Cafe. Across
Where's
from
that?
The Guitar Center, across from the Haverty's. We're close to the Walmart. Right dead center in Main Street. Off of Main Street, or now Fairfax Boulevard, or 29, if you want to call it. It's there in Fairfax, Epicure Cafe. Show starts at 8.
What time do you guys get on?
We go on at 10. So
Whoa,
it should be great.
Late night, baby. So what day of the week is that, February 5th?
That is a Friday.
Friday.
So it's just in time.
Nice. I'm going to look forward to your show, Monday Mistress.
Me too. I'm looking forward to that too.
Yes. So that's the top news right now. But also, as you heard in the beginning of our show, we were playing some David Bowie. And so I feel like talking about David Bowie to start off this episode, because 2016 has been a lot of deaths, I feel like. A lot of...
Is this deaths as part of the beginning of Carolyn's news?
Yeah.
The death
Guess
announcements.
Guess who died?
That's the game.
I should have like an obituary column.
That's right.
But yeah, David Bowie, he's like a major player in the world of music, died. Alan Rickman from... You might remember him from Sweeney Todd or Harry Potter. He is a British
and
actor.
And Dogma. Kevin Smith's Dogma. That's where, I think that to me is where I first heard of him too.
Yes. And
he played God. No, he didn't play God.
No, that was Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, Alanis Morissette.
Okay, so also deaths in the family of humanity. Brian Bedford, who is the voice of Robin Hood, Disney's Robin Hood with the fox, he has passed away, unfortunately. And I will say, going out on a limb to announce that my favorite Disney movie is most likely Robin Hood. I mean, I am also a fan of Little Mermaid, but...
Well, who isn't a fan of Little Mermaid?
I mean, but also Robin Hood, I mean, that's up there. That's up there. Because, I mean, that fox was very handsome. It was one of my first crushes.
The handsome Mr. Fox.
The handsome fox, and Brian Bedford voiced the fox. So I feel like a little piece of my childhood right there, like, got a little sad for a moment. Because I was like, oh...
Well, I feel sad for a lot of news, because last week was a pretty heavy news week, and we just let that thing fly. Also because I was in the middle of production of the Awesome Con commercial, but things still happened because, like, first that Sunday before then, you had the Golden Globes, and people would either ignore it or they watched it and they were entertained by certain things. And, you know, Ricky Gervais was, as you know, I simply wanted to watch it for Ricky Gervais. Just because I was just like, okay, he's going to cause a lot of trouble, and that's what's going to happen. You know, so all people are talking about, you know, that night, the news is Golden Globes this, and Leonardo DiCaprio's look towards laughing at Lady Gaga.
I thought that was totally overblown.
I mean, it probably was totally overblown, but, like, part of me, even to him, was pretty overblown, too. But I remember when we heard the news of, like, David Bowie's passing, like, the morning after that, less than 12 hours after the Golden Globes, we're like, yep, no one cares about the Golden Globes now.
Yeah, that was the first thing I thought of. I was like...
Erased.
I was like, yeah, anybody who won in the Golden Globes, it's like, not really news right now.
A non-factor.
David Bowie in the news is still going, because people are, like, at least the artists that I follow online, people are still posting David Bowie, like, tribute art. Like, I even saw some posts today.
I think they had even, like, on SNL, like, over the past couple days ago or yesterday, that they even did a David Bowie tribute.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty amazing, because just all the outpouring. I don't think I've ever seen a celebrity be as celebrated as David Bowie in recent memory.
It's pretty amazing, because to me, David Bowie was hitting on all facets of creative culture, because, like, for me, you know, you go on the social media, you go on the Facebook, and people are posting stuff how they relate to David Bowie. People would post a quote, or people would post, like, a song that they loved, and or they post that. Like, me, I'm, you know, I'm not really a massive David Bowie fan. If anything, when I was younger, maybe this was, like, in eighth grade or something like that, I think it was in, like, technical drawing. I was in, like, technical drawing class, and people would bring in music that we'd listen to. And then all of a sudden, the Man Who Stole the World would come up. And then for some reason, me and the person I was, I think it was Duke, my friend back then, Duke, we were, like, listening to the music. And we're like, oh, what is this? It's, like, terrible. Like, we couldn't get down with this at all. And all of a sudden, the Man Who Stole the World came on. And then Duke was like, oh, it's the David Bowie version of it. And then I even know that he wrote that he did the original one. The only time I heard The Man Who Sold the World was from Unplugged, like the Nirvana Unplugged. And then, of course, you know, that's like eighth grade, I think, for me.
So was that, like, a good reaction or a bad reaction?
No, it was a bad reaction. It was a bad reaction because at that time, you know, I'm eighth grade, I'm 13 or something like that. It's like you know, I feel like sometimes you really just don't get into music, or you don't get into things, really. You don't take that time to listen to it, or mentally I'm just not ready, you know? Mm-hmm. It actually just took, like, several years after that just to start to comprehend, but it all came through different, like, covers of David Bowie, you know what I mean? The first was, of course, the Nirvana song, or Nirvana performance at Unplugged, The Man Who Sold the World. And of course, then not the Cranberries, but what's Bob Dylan's, the Wallflowers did Heroes. Mm-hmm. That was off of it was off of the Godzilla soundtrack, I believe. So it's just like, you know, you start seeing the influences there. And then, of course, later on, then Under Pressure, that I started really appreciating. Under Pressure, when I first heard it, was from My Chemical Romance.
That was the first time you heard it?
That was the first time I heard that. That was the first time. Yeah, technically,
I'm
that was
surprised
the first.
You never heard the David Bowie version.
No, I never heard the
David. That was like Queen with David Bowie.
Yeah, that's true.
What?
But remember then the dun, 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 that came, I was like, oh, that's like That's the...
You're like, oh, that's Vanilla Ice.
That's Vanilla Ice. So I didn't really dabble. I didn't really was like, oh, let me go check out the original, because of course that way it didn't really branch me into that. But then of course when I heard, you know, I had, actually...
Were you like, this guy's copying Vanilla
Ice? No, here's one thing. Actually, I heard when I was filming bands, my friend Jared Sosa's band, the Roman Holiday, was playing Queen, and then he played Under Pressure. They played Under Pressure, and I wanted to find out what this more Under Pressure. Then I found out it was from Queen and with David Bowie. And then later on, I heard the My Chemical Romance version. I'm like, damn, that's even better, and I went back to it again. Mm-hmm. So then that's where it all came back around. And then, of course, recently, Space Odyssey, I mean, has been playing a lot in movies and stuff like that. So... Those things.
Well, I feel like I'm late to the party because, like...
Sometimes that's better, though.
But it's kind of sad because I'm like, okay, at least we were able to, like, live in a time period where David Bowie was alive. Like, that feels kind of cool because now it's like, what else is there? Like, I feel like a lot of musical artists now are just trying to make commotion. Like, you know, I guess Lady Gaga is influenced in terms of, like, the art and the pop and the fashion and, you know, that, like, experimental music. Like, I guess she can... branch off that, but I still feel like most musical artists are really like chokehold by their
marketing,
by their publisher and marketing and agents and all that stuff. It's like it just doesn't feel like a genuine artistic pursuit anymore with most people. Maybe not everybody, but it just feels like very pre-planned and everything, so it doesn't feel like that's who they really
are.
It's
not like an organic thing.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like genuine, like that's who they really are. So with David Bowie, though, it really feels like he did have like the art, the not only like the musical chops, but also artistic vision and just so many different versions of him in the past. But see, my thing with David Bowie is like, I usually get exposed to things that I expose myself to. I don't really have like friend influences in necessarily. Like, I, you know, people might, you know, recommend something to me, and that doesn't mean I'm gonna do it, because right now, like, everyone's, like, pushing Game of Thrones down my throat, and usually when a whole bunch of people are, like, after me to watch something, I don't watch it. But with David Bowie, like, I never really had any friends that I know of that were really into him, I wasn't exposed.
I know for me, like, Sally Kina was massive. When I met her, she had the David Bowie haircut,
really?
So it was, like, 100%. She was always about Bowie at that point.
That's cool. But see, I never really had like that put on me. I remember my dad growing up, I was super young, and I remember he made a comment about, I guess a date took him to a David Bowie show when he was dating a date.
He was dating a date.
He's going on a date, I guess, and they went to a David Bowie show, and then all I remember him saying was that there was a giant penis on stage. And so I have no idea what that would look like or what... I didn't even know, like, what a penis was back then. Like, I just knew it was, like, a boy part.
Who knows what a penis looks like?
But I was just like, oh, a boy part on the stage? Like, I just pictured, like, some giant, like, guar penis or something even before
back,
I knew...
Back then
before
you knew
I
guar?
Knew, before I knew what even guar was or they before they even existed. But, yeah, I was, like, in, I don't know what grade, like, elementary school. And... like, I just remember him talking about David Bowie. I was, like, probably aware of David Bowie maybe, like, in fourth grade.
Yeah.
But I knew all of his songs, like, that were hits, you know? Like, I feel like I did hear Under Pressure at some point when I was in elementary school. I like, Changes I heard and Heroes. Like, there was songs that I knew that was, like, I'm like, oh, that's David Bowie. Like, but I never looked him up, really, or... tried to get into.
When did Bowie come out? Like late 60s,
dude,
early
70s. He was like around for like a really long time. He's been making music for like 50 years.
So that's like I remember. I remember Almost Famous. I remember an Almost Famous when people are like chasing Bowie as he goes into the. And so like everyone's like oh and like the scene takes place I guess in a hotel lobby,
mm-hmm.
And I forget the main character, but he's like. You know, he's looking for Zeppelin.
Rolling
and they're
Stone
like,
reporter.
Yeah, and he's like looking around, and all of a sudden, everyone's like, Bowie, there's Bowie. And then you see, like, just like his hair go into like the elevator, and the flashes go by.
Yeah. I mean, he did have like that, like, a rivna of magic all over him. But I also do know that he was married to a supermodel named, like, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's like Iman or something like
Iman?
That. Is it Iman or Iman? I'm on.
I guess it depends if you're white or minority.
I've never had to pronounce her name. I've never heard her name being pronounced. I've always just like read about it. I knew who she was probably by like flipping through like a People magazine waiting to go to the dentist when I was a kid or something. Yeah. Like just one of those things that's like, oh, that's who his wife is and she's a model. Like that's pretty much like my extent of Bowie knowledge. But I do feel like I'm coming, like what I was saying earlier is like coming late to the party because now he's dead. And then once he died, then I start like getting into him, which feels like such a fraud thing. You know, it's like, oh, now you're dead. Now you're famous.
Because like, I remember like at the end of the day, you were listening to that whole entire, you're all about Bowie that day. The day Bowie died
was the day he died.
You're like all into it. It makes sense.
But you know what? I'm actually into his new album, it's called Black Star. And it's really good. Like, and then he has some videos with it too. And it's, I think, like, the cool thing about him and his death is that, like, he didn't tell anybody that he had cancer. He probably only told, like, his close friends and family. Very limited people knew about it. And I admire that, because, like, if he told everybody beforehand, there might be, like, people camped outside his house, and, like, waiting for him. I don't know, it just might be too much.
And in today's social day and age, it's like, so easy just to like have that information out.
Yeah, and
it's such a great skill when people can keep a secret this day and age.
I thought it was awesome, and I thought it was great that he like basically made a goodbye album to his fans, and it came out like 2 days before he died. They had the video for it and everything, and it's like, it's just so, and it's kind of creepy. Like if you look at it from like a really deaf perspective, you're like, oh my god, that creeps you out. But from another perspective, it's like, that's perfect. It's like such a great way to go out. And then I feel like that is what's making him like a star in my eyes, like just his death. And like there's like a couple really good songs that I had in my head all week from that album, and it's still in my head. And I tried not to overplay it, because I played it for, like, the first three days, and then I was like, I can't keep playing this, like, over and over again. I want to, like, let it marinate for a while. But it's so good, and I thought it was, like, a great artistic thing to do when you know you're going to die. Like, I feel like so many people would be, like, out there, like, proclaiming something and, like, trying to get sympathy or like, just, I don't know. I feel like with other people, like, it's like they announce that they're, like, sick or that they're gonna die.
Yeah.
And then they have...
Like, have pity on me or some stuff like that.
Or they...
Fishing for compliment. I don't know.
I don't want to say... Like, I don't know, because I don't know. I've never been in that position to know that you're gonna die.
But see, it's crazy because this day and age is so hard to... It's so hard to, like, just to see what is honest these days, too, you know?
Yeah, I just think it's, like, a cool way to go out. Like, he went out with style. He went out with... Grace, he went out like being creative, and I feel like that's awesome. And then I didn't really research as much as his past, you know, like I wasn't like, I'm gonna go back to his whole catalog, but I looked a little bit at it, and there's a really cool tribute that some artist made that is like an animated GIF that shows his face turning, and it's different decades and all his looks, and I thought that was like really well done. I don't know the name of the person that did it, but I'm sure you can go find it online.
It's tough. Who gets credit online these days?
Whoever that person is though should get a lot of credit, because that was awesome.
Yeah.
And I did a Curls as David Bowie tribute, because I just felt so I felt like he needed to have that type of representation out there. Like he needed to, I just felt like as an artist myself, a need to kind of like pay tribute to him in my own way.
Yeah.
And then that got
reposted by the Free Comic Book Day too.
Yeah, it did. And that was really great. I mean, I don't remember the final numbers, like on the stats about it, but it was like several hundred people.
But I remember that first comment. Someone's like, I'm offended by this.
They were doing that as a joke. Maybe they listened to our radio show and then like thought it would be cool to post that. I don't know.
I'm offended.
But everyone seemed to really like that one. Except for that one comment. But who knows if they're like, maybe they're just joking about the last one.
They're just working us.
You know, but maybe they saw the last one and they're like, I'm offended.
What's really cool is like, you know, you wake up in the morning. I mean, it's not cool when you wake up in the morning and finally he's dead. But it's cool to see like just a mass majority like almost like 95% everyone just saying what they love about him.
I never saw anybody talk trash about him after he died. It was more of like an out. Like, I don't think I've ever seen any celebrity get that much love, honestly.
And he is like the honest outsider too. You know what I mean? That's like, that's how I like perceived it. It's funny because you'd hear some of those comments of people saying like, I never really got into Bowie. I guess it's a perfect time for me to get into him now. But then you also have, you know, of course, yes and no, but people want to say something. But, you know, you see people's posting quotes that he made or posting songs and stuff like that. I guess the only thing I could post, of course, for me, the music is awesome. But for him, he played Nikola Tesla in The Prestige. Mm-hmm. And that's huge for me, man. That's huge. He's Tesla.
He's Tesla.
That was great.
In the films.
That was great.
And not only that, we should mention, speaking of Tesla, if you go back to the Carolyn and Joe Show archives from, I believe it was October of 2015, we did a live podcast actually in Nikola Tesla's room in New York City. And it was the room that he lived for the last 10 years of his life. And he died in to bring in some more death.
That's right.
So that was a pretty cool episode. We tried to talk to his ghost.
But it's crazy because it is. There's, you know, Lemmy from Motorhead died. Alan Rickman died. And Bowie, you know, dying. You know, there's
Don't forget the voice of Robin Hood.
And the voice of Robin Hood died. You know, it's sort of crazy to think about that time. But it brings me back to, like, when I was watching, like, a lot of Behind the Music. And people were, and they would say, like, Behind the Music of the 90s. And you know how that back then, like, before the millennium hit, they had all these, like, looking back at this, what was the best album of this time? And they would say, like, when, I remember specifically when they said, like, that when Elvis died, like, the day that Elvis died, another Elvis was born. And they'd say, like, Elvis Costello, it's like, when one artist goes away, another one can come up, mm-hmm. you know, to make room for that. And part of me feels like maybe that's, I mean, it sucks, but it's also maybe that's the way destruction leads to, you know, to rebirth in a way.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because in the lyrics to his newer songs, I believe it's actually the Black Star song, it does basically say that some, like, the Black Star is, you know, he's the Black Star, but then it says, like, something else will come out. I don't remember the official lyric, but it's basically saying that.
Because it's
like someone else will take its place.
Because look how it's going. You have, you know, Lemmy from Motorhead, one of the, you know, pretty much one of the godfathers of freaking hard rock, speed metal, stuff like, you know what I mean? In that genre, you know, mm-hmm. he's gone. Bowie, you know, art rock. That's, and also like one of the founding fathers, just like, just being a character from, you go from Marilyn Manson to Slipknot to Kiss, you know, all influenced by David Bowie. He's gone. And then you have Alan Rickman, one of the greatest actors, you know. So it's like, what can come next from this?
I guess the stars need to rise. I'm looking forward to, like, you know, everybody has their 15 minutes of fame, as Andy Warhol
Do
would
they?
Say. I think it's probably true. But there's bigger fames. Like, I don't know. The best way sometimes I view it is, like, if you look down on the earth and each person is like a little speck. Some people are a bigger speck. Like, for example, like a George Clooney is probably like a lot bigger than me. You know, yeah. Like my speck is like tiny compared to like George Clooney's. So like there will be somebody else that will rise up to the occasion. But I just wish that our stars were like as big as Bowie. Like Bowie is like a big star.
But also there's a mystery to him. That's one thing that misses out in this day and age is mystery. There's so much that people have given up so much that they feel like they have to give so much. They have to interact so much that they have to do all of this. But then it also the mystique. Mystique is really important for people at that level. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's great. Like even like Johnny Depp, I always say like, oh, he's too cool for Twitter. You know, like he doesn't need that. And, I mean, obviously, there are some people that use Twitter to, like, get work and hustle, and that, like, that's great. Like, but I guess Johnny Depp's at that level where, obviously, he doesn't need it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, he doesn't need, I feel like Johnny Depp doesn't need to work.
Well, yeah. He probably doesn't.
He doesn't need to, but that's but he understands living a life of doing nothing is a life of nothing.
Yeah, he probably because he's probably just wanting to work, and yeah. also he has his own island, so yeah. gotta upkeep that island.
I mean, see, that's why I never understood. I never like to me. I feel like I'm not that type of person that's gonna be. I just want to make lots of money and get fat and then just sit around and do nothing, you know, retire. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's never been really attractive to me. That's attractiveness is that what the life that attracted me is always a life of
making stuff
of like producing of just like, yeah, of creation and stuff like that. I don't know if I can just rest my laurels on just like, wow, I made that one thing. I'm done. I'm just going to live off of that for like 50 years.
Well,
you know?
But isn't it interesting? Like, even in the case of Brian Bedford, I don't know his whole resume, but he was a working actor. Like, and he was like a stage actor too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he just did the voice of Robin Hood and that was it. But that's how, like, he's known for. Isn't that weird, though? He did, like, I guess that movie came out in, like, late 70s, maybe? And it's like he's known for something that's like over 30 years old.
Yeah, and he's known for it.
But then he's done like so many other things, though. Eventually, what they're going to do on your obituary is just, it will come down to like a couple sentences for what you're known for.
Yeah.
And that's kind of frightening to me a little bit because like, who knows what project you're going to be known for. And, you know, it might just be.
It has
like,
to be the biggest one that you've done.
It'd be like Joe Carbeo worked on like, Awesome Kong commercials.
Tried to save the world. It was too late.
You worked on Awesome Kong commercials.
I don't
and
think,
went on tour of the
I don't,
Beach
I don't
Boys.
Think that's going to be. That's not going to be what I'm going
like,
to claim.
That's like, that, but that's what I'm saying, though. Like, what if for me it's just like, oh, she did cartoons for the White House, which is great, but I want to do more.
I just,
you know?
I just would like mine to be tried to save the world. It was too late.
Just submit it now.
I like because like I remember when Buffy died, that was on her stone was she saved the world a bunch.
Yeah,
no, but see that's what
but
I.
You don't have control over like what people are gonna remember you for. That's scary too. It's
you,
like
you don't and like that's it doesn't even but at that but you do have control. You can say what goes on your final gravestone. If you have a will.
If you want that,
yeah,
but. Also, I'm realizing now that I used to want to be buried, but I'm realizing now that having a casket and a stone and all that costs thousands of dollars. Like
the state will
I
pay
think,
for it.
Well, I don't think so. No, I think like the average funeral is like $15,000. It's like basically a wedding. And there's some crazy caskets out there now that are like limousines or something. You know, like
yes,
they're really nice.
Because that matters when you go to. I guess if it matters in Egypt.
I mean,
when they bury those people.
But, like, snakes and worms and bugs still find a way in. I don't know how, but they do.
Because they have all the time in the world, that's why. Because
they're just like, let's eat this decaying body.
they're like, what is this? Let's get this out of the way.
Ew, it's so gross. Because basically, when you're buried, though, think about it this way. Even if you're in, like, a really nice box, you're going to be pretty much eaten by insects and snakes and stuff.
Unless you pay extra money to get that out there to make it so that does not happen.
Like a cast iron.
Yeah, skillet.
Skillet, coffin. You can like roast on it.
So that,
but like, I don't know, like it used to be appealing to me for a while, but then recently I've been like, well, maybe I should just get cremated because it's like the cost is a lot less, like thousands less. And I wouldn't want people.
Then I might as well do it then. Joe, you will set me on fire.
But like I set me on fire. But I just I seriously wouldn't want to burden somebody. Not just like just because of like first of all I'm dead, and so everyone's probably gonna be upset about that and sad. Then you have to deal with like all this business stuff on top of it, and I wouldn't want somebody to have like $15,000 charge to like bury me. Like that just seems like. I mean, unless you're, like, a multimillionaire and you have that type of money, like, it just seems like a lot of money just to, like, be dug in the ground.
Speaking of money, David Bowie's death pretty much, like, whitewashed away, like, the Golden Globes and stuff like that. And
mm-hmm.
Because literally, before the news of David Bowie hit, it was pretty much like a Leonardo DiCaprio, like, weekend that we had.
Yeah.
Because we saw, like, The Revenant, like, in the morning on Saturday, and then we saw... what's it called? The
Titanic.
The Titanic was playing on HBO or something the night of, and then we're all like, "Yeah, go Leo, get that Golden Globe, dude."
Yes, I was so happy he won. Like, I'm really looking forward to him win an Oscar.
Do you think that's going to happen? You saw The Revenant. That's the movie that, you know, that's...
I mean, I think everyone should see that while it's in theater. It's really impressive.
Did you enjoy the movie?
Yeah, it was like a masterpiece. It felt like watching something that I've never seen before.
It's really cool because, like, for me, it's such a visceral real movie. And I know Alejandro Iñárritu, he can never get to the whole name.
The director.
The director. He's always searching for that truth. You know, like, whenever I'd read anything about like any interviews and stuff like that, and he's describing, you know, why we had to do it like this, why we went out there and for real, why we went out there in the cold time, why we used no lights. And he was always talking about, like, because we have to be true to the film, we have to be true to how it is back then, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. capturing that, finding that truth. Even there's that scene where, you know, when everyone knows, everyone's always talking about whenever people are talking about DiCaprio and his, like, what made his performance over the top, they're always going to reference, like, that he had to eat something that's real. Like, he had to eat, like, a real liver in a scene. Or they talk about a bear. But, like, the liver part, they're like, I remember,
Alfonso, he
was talking about, like, Alfonso was talking about how he's like, well, we had some fake livers on the set, but, you know, DiCaprio, Leo wanted to be true, and it wasn't as true if it wasn't real. So you had to eat the real thing.
Ugh.
That's 100%, man. 100% going into that. But it was so great because we saw, like, the recent movie, the recent Leo, and then we saw, like, the next level young Leo, you know, from mm-hmm. the Titanic. Such a great range. So do you think he's gonna...
And also Wolf of Wall Street was on that week too.
Oh yeah, Wolf of Wall Street. We were just saying how awesome Leo was that whole entire time.
I think all three of those movies are excellent. So, I mean, run out to the theater and check out the films. Because seriously, I don't know how they made that movie. All natural lighting. It felt like you were, like, seriously there in the wilderness. And I felt the cold, and I felt the wind. I felt the trees. The trees coming at me. I was even ducking.
Yeah.
It was really nice. It was a well-done film.
It was a freaking cold movie, man. It was really cold. I mean, out of all
I
that...
I wouldn't even take high schoolers. If your kid is mature enough and, like, can maybe, like, a junior, senior-level high schooler... I feel like it's good to see that.
You know, it's so great because, you know, that movie is violent. That's a violent and, like, vicious, vicious movie. And I remember when we were walking out there and, like, we stay for all the credits. That's just the respect we have, and that's just what we do. We stay for all the credits. But when they were done, when those credits were done, we were walking out. Remember we saw a mom and two little kids walk into the theater?
Yeah, like,
and
I was little, like, kids.
And I was like, yeah, like little kids, like seven and like 10.
Six.
And yeah, and I looked at them and I looked at you. I was like, what the? They're not just going to come here and sit and watch The Revenant?
And then as, like, we exited the theater, we saw the sign had changed to Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah.
So then we were like, oh, that's so good.
I was like, what in the hell is that type of parenting choice there?
Yes. But I think, like, if you have a intellectual, mature high schooler, I feel like it's a good movie to even show them.
But do you think this is a? I know we still got plenty of weeks to go. Got to cast your votes if you're in the Academy of Motion Picture Sciences, something like that. If you're in that deep,
how do you get into that and get voting?
I believe you have to be like an actor, or you got to be part of production and the unions and stuff like that.
Okay,
I am not. Will I ever be? Probably. But do you think it's Leo's year? Is this the year of Leo?
I think it is, but if he, for whatever reason, doesn't, I would blow up. I would stand up on my feet and, like, start yelling at the
Leo
TV.
If Leo loses, we riot. You should make a sign like that. If Leo, you should do something like, just like Cena. Cena wins, we riot. Mm-hmm. If Leo loses, we riot.
I can't see why he would, unless people are just really cruel.
They're like, no, not his greatest performance. It's like, well, like, if you didn't even give it to him then, you're not gonna give it to him now. Dude almost died. He had to get constantly sick on that movie. It's like, what? In your mind, what does a person have to do to get an Academy Award?
I don't know, but I think he'll get it. I really do.
But like in your mind, what does someone have to do to get Academy
Award?
They
have to go to the brink of what their body and mind and mentality and spirituality can go as an actor and completely transform into a character.
All right, so who in the past, if you remember, like you're like, yeah, that one deserved it.
I mean, I would have to look because I actually don't have all that memorized.
I remember when it was McConaughey in the it was like Leo, someone else, and Matthew McConaughey for the leading actor. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw that, because that was Wolf of Wall Street, I was like, Leo's gonna win it for Wolf of Wall Street.
Who won?
And then I saw the clip of Dallas Buyers Club with McConaughey, and he's like super skinny and like, you know, like, and he has AIDS and stuff like that. I was like, damn it, he's gonna win that. Look what he did. He freaking went skinny as hell.
Like, see, sometimes I feel like the transformations, though, those are a little too, I don't know. It's really hard for me to say because it's not like I'm an actress or an actor trying
to. The search for truth, man.
But, you know, like, everyone always brings up, like, Charlize Theron. They're like, man, she didn't even wear any makeup in Monster.
Yeah, and she gained weight and did, yeah.
But, like, I mean.
Well, she transformed. It's not about makeup, it's transforming, right?
Yeah, it is. But I don't know. It's like sometimes it does feel like people are just vying for that transformation, and then that's it. Like,
I mean, if you can completely transform into another person altogether, that's that next level of acting,
you know?
Yeah,
it is. But I just feel like sometimes it's a little, it's almost like a joke now that it's like, oh, well, if any actor that completely transforms, they deserve an Oscar.
Well, they should get nominated at least because that the transformation, that's what acting is, right?
Yeah.
Like, what are you
but
supposed
I feel
to do?
Like it, no, I also feel like.
What else? What else
but
puts you in the category?
But not just a matter of like losing weight or gaining weight or
but
looking
that,
ugly.
But remember, there's that thing. Remember from, what's that movie when he played. Who played Iron Man?
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. with Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
When he's saying like, no, you went too far, retard. You know?
He said you have to go full retard.
No, he said, no, you don't go full retard.
You don't go full retard.
So that's that balance. Remember, he went full retard. You weren't supposed to go full retard.
Well, he also went full black.
Yeah.
But he didn't get nominated, did he?
No, but
for
he
being
was.
Black?
No, remember, he was trying to get. He was. But didn't he?
Who? Leonardo?
No, but did Robert Downey Jr. get nominated for that for being black, half black?
I hope not.
He's been nominated a bunch of times.
It was a good performance, but I hope it wasn't just like, oh, he was blackface.
Yeah, but see, there's
should get nominated.
No, but see, that's that balance. You're saying how like, oh, they got to go full transformation, but
you got to go full retard.
But then transformation, they're saying you don't go full retard though. They're saying you don't go full retard.
I feel like you need to go full retard.
No, but then it becomes like a joke. If you get too far, you still got to have a little bit of that Hollywood in you.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know what it's like to be like full on like that. I haven't really acted in many things. I've done a few things, but not enough to like consider myself an actor.
Because I remember like even Rooney Mara, she transformed into the girl with the dragon tattoo because that's completely not who she is. Mm-hmm. But what's crazy is after that, then she started doing, it's like that's the role that became.
You get typecast.
Not typecast, but that's the role that makes you now a serious actor.
Oh,
you know
what
I mean?
That's what people are going to, like how we were talking about earlier about how you're only known for one thing.
But also it's
like that's the girl with the dragon tattoo, but people don't actually know her name. They're like, girl with dragon tattoo.
Why, you know,
I feel like that kind of hurts.
People know Rooney Mara, but.
No, but they don't though. Like they know her, but they don't know her.
Well, because
she's always
going
to be known
as
like, oh, who's
that
actress and girl of dragon?
Because she's also an actress, so it's not. It's like it'll take a few, but
yeah.
People who know,
people
who know her as being a legit actress. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To be at that level, to be like a legit actress.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what happens once you get those nominations. I feel like, or once you get those characters, now you're respectable. As opposed to like, I'm just a pretty face.
Yeah.
You know, there's
definitely that
difference. Like, oh, I'm just a model. Or now you're like Charlize. Like, people probably forget that she was a model at this point.
But that's great.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is that like you get treated at when you got the credentials. Now I feel like you get treated like that. But the thing with Leo is like, I'm not sure. Do you think people still think he's just a pretty boy face? Because well, he's been working his ass off to not be just that.
I mean, I don't think he is. I don't think he's been like that since Titanic.
I mean, after around that, you had, but I feel like they still had
Man
there
with
was,
the Iron Mask.
They or you had Romeo and Juliet too.
It's true.
You know the beach, but there was a time where it was still hard for him to break away from that.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he hit the nail on the head with this one because he deserves it, man. I've been waiting for him to get an Oscar for a long time.
Well, I think it might just will come down to who he's up against.
Well, who was he up against in the Golden Globes?
I don't even remember.
Because it was all about Leo. That's why.
I don't even remember, man.
So then he like.
But he won a Golden Globe. Won a Golden Globe for what's it called? The Wolf of Wall Street.
And then he lost the Oscar.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I will say if he does lose the Oscar, I will riot.
Leo wins or we riot.
I mean, because I will like just stand up and start yelling at the TV.
It's like, no!
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 Who made this decision?
The Academy did. Who's the Academy? All of them.
No! Another thing, maybe people are doing that. That's what I'm saying. Maybe they vote against him as like some cruel joke.
Probably.
I don't know, man. That would be really messed up, though.
They're like, well, Leo can get any girl he wants to, and he doesn't need my vote.
They're like, he doesn't need to win more. He's already a winner.
Another great thing. Against him. Another fun thing is that, like, because you know the Oscar nominations got announced, and people are saying how it's like, oh, look at it, it's all white. You know, the first thing
they
so
say
the
that
white
every
thing.
Year.
It's more whites.
They say that every
it's
year.
Such a white thing. There's not enough black
but
people in it.
What about like Selma or 12 Years a Slave or Slumdog Millionaire?
Well, they didn't say the thing is.
Those are all within, like, the past 5 years.
The thing is, I guess one of the biggest ones, I mean, Creed didn't get nominated.
Never heard of it. Creed?
You did.
Creed, the band?
No.
Creed. I don't know Creed.
Yeah, you do. You know Creed. That's the Stallone movie.
I actually don't know.
That's the new the Rocky movie that was doing really strong.
I never heard of it.
Well, that's different than someone that's not paying attention. Someone that's actually out there.
Attention.
Creed. Everyone was talking about how good Creed was.
I missed out on that.
That's the one. Stallone's even up for an Oscar for supporting. He's probably going to win that. I feel like Stallone's probably going to win the supporting actor. But Stallone did pretty well. But that was again. That was black.
What about Dope?
Dope. I don't even know if that's going to be up for. That's not up for anything.
Well, that's
but straight out of Compton, best screenplay, but didn't get up there. Because, you know, you can get 10 nominated for, you can get 10 spots.
10
for
nominations for Best Picture.
Best Picture, and they only did 8. And they're like, well,
they didn't feel other two
deserved
like,
it. Yeah, they're like, well, I guess Straight Outta Compton. People are saying that, they're not black enough.
I feel like having that many entrants in it is like a horse race with too many horses. It's like, they either cancel each other out, or they get stomped on. There's too many in the race. But I know that they upped the number so that they can get more money and more incentives and all those, like, you know, they all bribe
each
other. Why not bring in 30 movies? You know, like make more money off of it and get more people interested in it. I don't know. Like, I'm not suggesting they do that because I definitely wouldn't be for it. But I feel like they should only pick 5 movies. Well, I don't understand this, like, 8 or 10. Like, I don't understand, like, why you...
Yeah, you do.
I mean, it's a money decision, obviously. I do understand
that's why
that.
I'm like, they should have put them in there. But, I don't know who capped it.
Having 5, first of all, makes it more special. And it makes it feel like they're all legitimately running up against each other. Whereas if you have 10, dude, I could seriously.
But you have 8.
Okay,
have 8 this time.
8 this year, whatever. I could seriously knock off 3 right now and tell you that they're not going to win.
Who?
I don't know who's nominated.
You know what would be a great upset, but amazing, and it makes sense to me, if Mad Max won. I think that would be great. George Miller's up for Best Director, too.
I don't think they're gonna do it.
Man. Why not? That's such a feat too. That's just as big. That was just as big a feat of shooting out there was The Revenant, in which Alejandro Iñárritu is those. I feel like to me, those are the guys to beat right now. Is George Miller, Alfonso, Mad Max, and The Revenant are the ones in my head to beat.
I mean, definitely neck and neck, but.
For director of photography and best picture, those two are my horses to beat in that.
It just feels like Revenant was harder to shoot.
But if there's anything, I feel like it's gonna be those two that in my head that'll be a fun that's a fun battle.
I mean,
at
it's
the
definitely
end.
Like a good head to head, you know. So, but that's what I'm saying. That's what exciting about having less nominees or having 5 nominees. It feels like they're all. Equal build.
Oh yeah, Tom Hardy's
also.
Does
that make sense though to you? Like
Tom
to
Hardy's
have it...
also up for supporting too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's also in Mad Max. I wonder if he's gonna do a double dip. I didn't check if he was doing both of those.
Mm-hmm. So he's up against. Who is he up against?
Were you saying 5? The other ones don't have 10.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, why can't it just be five across the board? I don't understand, like...
You do understand,
though. No, but I know, like I said, it's the money thing.
Yeah, so you completely understand.
I do understand, but it doesn't... It just deflates the whole purpose of having best picture.
Yeah, but they have eight. The max is 10. So I'm like, if you're going to do that, you might as well just stuck those other two in there. If you're going to if you want to bring in those other
maybe
viewers,
feel like two more were even worthy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know who was like, we need to cap it, but aren't we supposed to be 10? Why? It's like, if you're going to do that, why even have it? If you're not going to fill it up, why even have it? Why just have the cap at five?
I mean,
like
maybe
you're saying.
To me, that's like a statement to be like, there, the other, like, we had room for two more, but we just didn't even feel like the rest of the movies were worthy.
Minorities are going to win all across the board. That's going to happen, except for Stallone.
So if minorities are winning,
and then but Leo's,
then why are people saying that it's all white? You know, like, I don't understand that.
No, it's just not black.
Every year it's like an attack against like white people.
Because I swear a Mexican's going to win director and cinematographer.
Yeah. So like right and whatever, there, it's like, whatever that's DiCaprio not all is. White. I don't understand, man.
I don't even know who's up for best female actress. It would be great if Jennifer Lawrence does, because I actually really enjoy Jennifer Lawrence on screen.
Did you enjoy Joy?
I did enjoy Joy a whole lot.
It was a good movie.
I wonder who else is up. Maybe Kate Blanchett's up there.
What about Kate Winslet?
Oh, yeah, she was in Steve Jobs, but I think, is that supporting or is that...
Don't know.
Dope.
I mean, they could have put Dope for Best Picture.
That could have been the spot. Those have been the last spots.
That could have been a spot, you know? And then what if that
did
was
that
in
come
there?
Out this year, though?
Don't know.
Maybe it didn't come out this year.
I don't
year.
Know all the specs.
The specs? Yeah. The respecs.
Well, you know, they did have those other two spots to fill, but maybe people need to just make better movies across the board. I don't like how people make it a racial thing. To me, it shouldn't be like that. It's just like, why don't you just make good movies, you know? Why don't you just... make the best things you can do. Why? I don't understand why like race has to be put in on it.
Because it's a race. That's why.
Race for the race.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know. It should be exciting though. I'm actually gonna watch. Like, I'm gonna try to make effort to watch the full Oscars this year. I have been in and out in recent years, but this year I feel like it's Leo's year. I'm gonna watch the full thing. Do you know who's hosting it this year? I don't know any of this. These details about who's nominated or any of that.
I think Chris Rock is.
Wow, okay.
I think that's then, what, because I heard someone commenting on that.
Then I thought that, why, if it's all white, then why is the host black?
That's why I heard he's going to make a comment on
okay,
that.
Okay, so like, there you go. You have Chris Rock freaking hosting it, which that's an honor. Come
even,
on.
Even, what's his face? Dr. Horrible saying about that last year, about it being the whitest, the whitest category.
Man, people need to... I mean, I'm all about diversity, too, but...
Are you?
I am. Do you think I am?
I've never,
do you think I want to, like, stomp down all the other races?
I feel like pointing out that it's about diversity ruins the point, is right? It should just be naturally.
Like I said, if more black people or more Mexicans or more whoever's, like...
Whoever's.
Yeah, whatever you are, if you make good stuff and you get nominated, then that's awesome. I just don't want to, like, judge people by their color. I just don't do that, so... It just feels silly to read a headline like, oh, Black America got snubbed. It's like, well, I don't know, man. All I can say
and
is
we
that...
And we just discount all minorities altogether.
But I'm
all
like,
other minorities.
But I'm like, there's other people there, and if Chris Rock is hosting it, and, like, I enjoyed seeing Dope. I feel like more movies in black culture should be made. Like, maybe not, like, Dope, because that's already been done. But, like, there's stories out there, but, you guys got to tell it.
Yeah.
You got to tell your stories, so you can't say that you're getting snubbed. Like, I don't know where all this snubbing is coming from, but just make movies that are good.
You see Amy's up for Best Documentary, too.
Wow. I need to pay attention to the nominations, because I don't know all the nominations.
Go out there and check out those nominations, and if you're in the Academy, go ahead and vote.
For Leo.
Vote for Leo and all the rest of the minorities out there.
All minority ballots.
All minorities all the time.
Yes.
That's what it's all about.
Your votes will speak.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. This show is brought to you by Straight Productions. Check them out at straightproductions.com. Check out my work at the newly designed joecarabello.com. Also go to stray.tumblr.com. Also one-shots.com, my films. Check out the Monday Mistress webpage at the Reverb Nation / Monday Mistress. Also facebook.com. facebook.com/Monday Mistress. And don't forget, do not forget, go check out the Taboo Serious About Sex documentary. Google it. Carolyn, what do you got?
Well, I have a comic strip called Curls. You can read it at curls-studio.com. I also have my own website, my very own website, you guys. It's my name. It's carolynbilewski.com. I'm also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that jazz with the handle at Carolyn Bilewski. I'll see you online.
That's right. CarolynJoeShow.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio. You'll see us. You'll see us, and then you'll listen to us. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.